Hi guys, welcome back. You're listening to Fusion Worship with me, Johnny Hume. And thanks so much to everybody who's been listening from around the world, from places like China, Canada, the United States, South Africa, Serbia, Germany, France, Ireland, and of course here in the UK. So to listen to this or any previous episodes, please visit mixcloud.com/fusionworship. Or alternatively, you can download from my webpage, fusionworship.podomatic.com. And while you're on there, make sure you click the subscribe to iTunes icon at the bottom of the page to make sure you never miss another episode of Fusion Worship. Now, this episode is one of my previous podcasts from a couple of years ago where I'm talking about the theme of love. Now, I know you're all waiting for a brand new episode of Fusion Worship, so I'm off down to Bristol to play at the next From the Church to the Club event, and I'll be recording that set and making it available as part of my next podcast, where also I'll be sharing more of my testimony and story from the last couple of years. So for now, take care, God bless, and I'll see you soon.
Fusion Worship with Johnny Hume.
Tuning in once again. Of course, please remember to visit my Fusion Worship Facebook page and leave any comments, questions about this or any episode. Also, up on the Facebook page, I'll be putting links, which I'll be talking about later in the show, links to different sites and books and CDs and all sorts, so that you guys can check those out as well. Now, of course, this podcast is slightly late. I do apologise. It is good to be back in the hot seat. I've missed it, and it's good to be back giving you guys another podcast. It has been really busy time. I've been away, I've been at conferences, my parents have been here, and on top of that, I've moved flat as well. So, yeah, it's been pretty hectic, but at the same time, it's good to be back. Now, this time we're looking at the theme of love, and we're going to really explore that, and I think this is something that's really important for us to look at, and probably if there's one podcast or one subject that I do, this one's probably going to be the one. So it'd be probably the basis for everything that we're going for here. So the Bible says that God is love. God is, his nature and his character is love. It's his overriding characteristic. It's his, in its very deepest nature, to love. You know, the Bible goes into, as we were looking at a previous podcast, we looked at the names of God and all his characteristics, but I think at his core, his deepest core, is love. And that's reflected in everything that he does, in everything that he creates, and in his person, in Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit. It's all about love. Now, At this point, I want to say that really it doesn't matter wherever we are on our journey of faith, or whether we believe in God or we're not sure, or whatever, wherever you are in that journey, I don't think it matters. I think that all we need to be is just people who are seeking the truth. And I think that as we're going to explore, ultimately what we seek will lead us to God. And I'm just going to read out a passage. It's in Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So what we're looking at is here is kind of finding, you know, in this journey of discovery and figuring out who we are and what we believe and if there's a God or whatever, we need to be seeking and asking. And I've read a book quite a while ago by a guy called Erwin McManus. It's called Soul Cravings. And in this book, he talks about our need to crave. And, you know, when we're babies, we crave milk because that's what we need to survive. And then when we get a little bit older, we crave things like coffee and chocolate and all sorts of things, maybe even beer. But we also crave deeper things. We crave things like intimacy and truth and meaning and purpose. And in this book, Erwin McManus talks about these things, and he says that those deeper things are called our soul cravings. These are the things that kind of, they never leave us. Doesn't matter who we are or where we're from or what colour our skin is, whether we're male or female. We're all on a journey of seeking to discover. It's in our nature. It's who we are as being human. And what I want to do is actually play a clip from a DVD called Crave, which is a DVD series that he did based on the book Soul Cravings. And like I said before, I'll be putting links up on my Facebook page for you guys to go and purchase these books and DVDs on Amazon or wherever you want to go. But we'll just play a clip of that right now.
Fusion worship.
There was a group of people that gathered around Jesus, and they asked him, Jesus, what's the most important thing to God? Well, they asked it like this, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus answered, it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Translated, what Jesus was saying, the most important thing to God is relationships. Your relationship to him, your relationship to others, and yes, in a unique way, your relationship to yourself. You're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But there's a huge difference between loving yourself and being in love with yourself. Sometimes we have to break ourselves out of our potential narcissistic focus of self-love and self-absorption and self-focus and just general selfishness. And to begin to realize that we were created for more than that. We were created not only to be loved, but created to love. In fact, we're never more alive than when we begin to give our love away. Love is one of those unusual elements. It's an unusual quality that when you try to keep love, you actually lose it. But when you begin to give love away, it continues to grow and to grow and to grow. Love is an endless resource of unlimited quantity. Jesus came to demonstrate that. In fact, the entire story of Jesus is a story of love, that God so passionately loved humanity that he sent his son into human history. Jesus walked among us as the flesh and blood demonstration of love. Jesus is love wrapped up in skin. And his ultimate demonstration of love was his sacrifice on our behalf. You see, the death of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, isn't an incidental act. It's central to who God is and what he's about. He came to demonstrate his love for you and for me, because God passionately loves you and loves me. God is the passionate lover of humanity. God created us for relationship. God created us for love. God created us with intimacy. And when we live our lives disconnected from love, disconnected from God, disconnected from others, our souls have a craving that is never satisfied, and it will absolutely drive us insane. We need to just embrace the fact that all of our lives are a love story, and that our souls long for love. We long to belong. We long for intimacy. We crave it. We need it. God designed us for love. And in Jesus Christ, that love is made complete.
Fusion Worship.
Basically, what we're looking at here and what Erwin was talking about was God's love and how God loves us. And I want to look at a passage of scripture now that basically shows that and shows Jesus who came and who demonstrated God, who became flesh and blood and who walked on the earth and who kind of showed us that love in person. And I want to show you a little story about that, which I'll read. It's from John chapter 4, and I'm reading from the Message. So, just to give you a backdrop, Jesus, they're on a journey which takes them through this part of Israel called Samaria, and basically these guys didn't mix with Jesus' people who were Jews. They were like enemies. They were basically like the Scots and the English, or Rangers and Celtic, or Chelsea and Arsenal. They were basically like enemies, but Jesus decided like they were going this way. So they kind of arrived in this town, and the disciples went off to Sainsbury's to buy food, and Jesus meets this woman at a well. So I'm just going to pick up the story there. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone into the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is so deep. So how are you going to give me this water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and his livestock, and passed it down to us." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks this water I will give will never thirst, not ever. The water I will give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again." He said, "Go call your husband and then come back." She answered, "I have no husband," she said. Jesus said, "That's nicely put. I have no husband. You have 5 husbands. And the man you are living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough. Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshipped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship, right? Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming, and in fact has come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way that you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration." The woman said, I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, we'll get the whole story. I am he, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. The woman took the hint and left. In her confusion, she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told the people, "Come see a man who knew all the things I ever did, who knew me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah?" And they went out to see for themselves. So this is a story about Jesus when he met this woman. I just think it's a really intriguing story, and it's probably one of many stories of Jesus that probably there's other stories like this that weren't in the Bible, but this one was I think is included because it's just so significant and there's some amazing things that happened. And that this woman, she had so many broken relationships, but she was seeking a real relationship, and I think she was somebody that was actually looking for God, and she had so many questions. And Jesus met her, and through meeting Jesus, she was transformed and she was changed. And I think that reflects where we are. It kind of reflects that we're seeking someone or something that can be ultimately true and can be trusted. And I think that, like that woman, our search for that thing will always lead us to God. And, you know, this woman, she had a string of broken relationships, and I think she was searching for love. And all those relationships, they never worked out. And the guy that she was with wasn't even her husband, so you don't know what kind of relationship that might have been, but it maybe wasn't really a healthy one. And so she was obviously searching for something, but it was so elusive. And I wonder how many times we find love to be elusive. But I think when she has this encounter with Jesus, where she actually discovers she discovers truth and she discovers God and she discovers love, because Jesus didn't condemn her for her actions, and he actually just loved her. And I think that, like that, we're searching, and we think that God is going to be a God of that's going to be angry with us for the things that we've done, and we don't think or believe that he would just accept us for who we are. And I think that when we find God, we find acceptance and we find no condemnation, and ultimately we find love. I just want to tell you a story. It's kind of modern day story. It's a little bit like the woman at the well, but it's a story I heard while I was listening to a talk, again, by this guy called Dutch Sheetch, which I mentioned in one of my earlier podcasts, so I've been listening to him again. And he told this story about this woman who used to go into orphanages for girls that were messed up, and they were orphans, so they didn't have parents. And she used to go in and just basically tell them that God loved them and prophesied to them. And in a way, that's what Jesus did, because when he spoke to the woman at the well and he tells her that she had five husbands, there's no way he could have known that. So he was prophetic in the way that he spoke to her. And so this woman, when she goes into these orphanages, she's prophetic in the way that she speaks to these kids. And there was this one girl, and she felt like God saying to her, to say to her that she wasn't forgotten. And so she just goes in, she just says, "Look, the Lord says you're not forgotten. The Lord says you're not forgotten." And the kid was just like, "Yeah, whatever, don't believe in God." And so she just kept saying it over and over and over. "The Lord says you're not forgotten. The Lord says you're not forgotten." And then all of a sudden, she just breaks into tears. just starts weeping uncontrollably, and she pulls up her sleeve, and on her arm she's engraved in it, "Forgotten." And so we're dealing with people who have gone to that extent that they have to carve "Forgotten" on their arms when they've lost complete hope or meaning or purpose, and they've lost all belief in love or God, and yet God is able to meet them in their pain, and he sees who we are, and he just wants to accept us and love us. And I think that when we do love people, and I think that's the challenge for us, when we do love people, we show them God. You know, that's what Jesus did. He loved people, and he was flesh and bones, walking, talking, demonstration of God's love. And I think that that's what we're called to be as well. We're called to actually love people, and when we love people, we show them God. And love is one of these funny commodities that, and Irwin said it in that clip that I played, that when we give love away, we find it. And when we don't give a love away, when we keep it to ourselves, we find that we lose it. It's not like anything else. You put money in the bank, it stays there. You don't have to worry about it. But with love, it's different. You know, you need to find ways to give it away, and when you give it away, you get more back. And that's how God is, and it's reflective of his nature. So there's a couple of shows that I've been watching on TV that kind of demonstrate this whole thing about love and God's love and how he loves us. One of the shows I've been watching, which really inspires me, is a program called Secret Millionaire. It's on Channel 4. I think you can get that on 4 on demand as well on the web. Just Google it. This program, if you've not seen it before, they basically have millionaires that volunteer to go into really deprived areas and live for a week on equivalent of job seekers allowance, and go and work for organisations, charities, various things, and find people that are really needing their support. And then at the end of the programme, they end up giving away thousands of pounds to people who really need it. And one of the interesting things about this programme is that although the people who end up receiving the gifts of money, they're obviously really changed and blown away by it. But the person who's giving, the millionaire, they are really changed by the whole process. I think it's happened in every single one that I've seen. And it changes their perspective and outlook on life. And I was watching something programmed last night, actually. I think it's St. Francis of Assisi who said that when we give, we experience great joy. And I think that's true, and I think that's what you see in this programme. And again, it's just showing practically how the love of God works, and how his economy, and how it's so different from the world. And so I guess it's really good to watch these things, and that these things are on TV, that it just kind of shows a different way. Because I think that when we become more selfish, when we become less selfless, then we move away from who God is, and we move away from love. But when we become selfless, and when we pour ourselves out, and when we give ourselves out, we move towards love, and we move towards God. And I think that's demonstrated in Secret Millionaire. And really, what I thought is that, you know, really we're all secret millionaires, and it's just that we're not dealing maybe in cash, but we're dealing in love. And to give away love, we have it in abundance, because it comes from God. You know, the Bible says that it comes from God. And if he's a God of endless and limitless resources, then there's no limit to the amount of love that can come from him. And so when we open ourselves up to that love and start to allow it to flow through us and out of us it flows into other people, then there's a limitless supply. So we're millionaires of love, and we're secret millionaires of that love, and we can give it away. Another program that I like is a program called World's Strictest Parents. It's on BBC Three, so you can catch that on BBC Three or on iPlayer, BBC iPlayer. So you can check that out as well. And that's basically about these kids who are from messed up families in the UK, and they're basically, most of them are tearaways. They're quitting school or their studies, and they're drinking, they're going crazy with drugs, and they're just out of control. And so in this program, they're sent to families in different parts of the world who have supposedly got really strict parents, and they have to live under their house and in their rules and whatever. And at the start, they kind of really, really fight against it, and it's just a lot of arguing and really, really messed up. But then after a while, because they're in that situation and they can't get out of it, they have to sort of submit to that parenting. And there's like always a point in the program where they just change and they realise the benefit of sort of that parenting, because they come from families where they don't have that good parenting, and often that's the reason for the kids being so messed up, where they've maybe lacked a father figure or whatever, or just a good mother. So, you know, check that program out as well. And I think that out of that, it kind of proves that God is a relational God, and that love is the currency for relationships. You know, if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, whether it be platonic or otherwise romantic, then you're going to have love. That's the currency that you deal with. And that God is a relational God. And I think that's shown in who God is. You know, in creation at the beginning, you know, you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. They're all there, they're all taking part. And they all have roles to play, and they're relational. So God in his own nature is relational. But also it's reflected in the universe, in the solar system, in the vastness of that. Everything works in relationship. The planets and the sun, all with their gravity forces and everything they do. And they all work intricately together. And if one thing was out of sync or didn't work together, we would die, you know. If this planet was just a fraction closer to the sun, we'd fry. If we were a fraction further away, we'd all freeze. And it's God that created that, and his nature is reflected in creation. And then if you go small, we have cells and atoms, and the relationship that they play in our bodies or whatever, you know, it's just mind-blowing when you start looking at it. And this all reflects who God is. So God is a relational God. There's a DVD which talks more about that. It's called Everything is Spiritual, and it's by Rob Bell. And so again, I'll be putting a link up for that, maybe to buy on Amazon or whatever, and you can check that out as well. It goes into more detail, and it's really cool. So here's something that I found in the wrapper. Inside of a wrapper of a chocolate bar, and it's just kind of quite interesting. This is in the inside wrapper of a Galaxy bar. It says, falling into that beautiful thing called love. And then it gives definitions: attraction, flirtation, euphoria, doubt, the truth. I don't know why I want you, but I really do. Here it is. That inexplainable, elemental tug. That surprising, sudden feeling you've been waiting for. This yes, yes, yes. This is where you find something or someone and just fall for them. Illogically, irresistibly, and find yourself thinking of nothing else. Because it's attraction, and the dream of love to follow, that keeps the imagination alive, its attraction that makes life sparkle and pop and fizz. Galaxy, never stop falling in love. I just find that quite profound for in the inside of a chocolate bar, but nevertheless it's true. And it is talking again, it's talking about finding someone or something that you can love, and we're all searching for it. And it's interesting that people put it in the inside of chocolate bars. They write about it in poems, in books, in films, and of course, just about every pop song that's ever been written, that's been ever good, is about love. We're obsessed about it, and we're all searching for it. And it's human nature. And I think that in God, we can find that. Ultimately, something that we really, really need is His love. So now we're going to go into a time of worship and reflection, I think. I've talked about a lot of things in this podcast, and I've hopefully really challenged some of your thinking and really got you interested in this. And As I said before, I think if I didn't do any other podcasts ever again, I think this would really be the most important subject, and everything else is based on this, and it's really at the nature of who God is. So I'm going to read out something called the Father's Love Letter at the start of the worship set. And again, like I did before, it's just something to focus our minds and something we can meditate on. And again, wherever you are listening to this, I think that God can meet with you, and that just find some space on your own, or just spend the next half an hour or whatever on your own and just listen to this and allow God to meet with you, because I know He will.
Fusion worship.
You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you before you were ever conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day that you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not a distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father could ever, for I am your perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sands on the seashore. I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who give you these desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you
close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, I love you, even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that for you, not against you, and to tell you that I'm not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting for you.
Shelter, let it rise, don't let it
Blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He settled on us the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of all the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chopped up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could ever possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. set it out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. It's Christ that in you, once you heard the truth and believed in it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. The signet from God is the first installment in what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us. Praising and glorious life. never gives up. Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself out on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't score the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowing of truth, puts up with everything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We only know a portion of the truth. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompleteness will be cancelled. When I was an infant, at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant would. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it. All then, see it. All clearly as God sees us. Knowing Him directly, just as He knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. We'll be right back. Continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us, sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear the way our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear friends, if God loves like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as a Savior for the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it, heart and soul, this love that comes from God.
Johnny Hughes.